You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we're going to conclude our study on Isaiah chapters 21, 22, and 23. Now, if you recall with me, in chapter 21, we hear about the city of Babylon, the wilderness of the sea. In 22, we hear about the earthly Jerusalem that is called the Valley of Vision. And now in today's chapter 23, when we close, we hear about Tyre, the exultant city, the stronghold of the sea, and we'll also hear about Sidon, the mother city who will have no daughter anymore. And so we have this contrast between these cities who are trying to prevent the city of God from coming, the heavenly Jerusalem, that consists of the remnant, the believers who trust in Emmanuel, God with us, the promise of the Messiah who comes to bring to us new life in New Jerusalem, as we have in Hebrews chapter 12, that you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So we're focusing on New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, in which you have the partakers being the believers, those who have been converted, who have been brought out of the dominion of darkness, who've been rescued out of these cities that are in rebellion against God. And so we rejoice in this promise as we now dwell in this reality as believers. For those who are in Christ are a new creation, and there is no condemnation. When we look at chapter 23, we hear about condemnation specifically for the city of Tyre and the city of Sidon. And so chapter 23 opens with these words of condemnation. The oracle concerning Tyre. Well, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste, without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them, be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon, who cross the sea, have filled you. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken. The stronghold of the sea saying, I have neither labored nor given birth. I have neither reared young men nor brought up young women. So these are the first four verses, in chapter 23, where Tyre is called the sea and the stronghold of the sea. It's a strong city, but woe to Tyre. And Sidon, of course, is the mother of Tyre, but Sidon will become like a woman with no children, for the daughter city will be no more. And so you have this whole exalted state, this supreme wealth will be brought down low to extreme poverty. In unison with the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Ezekiel cries out against Tyre and Sidon. In chapter 26 of the book of Ezekiel, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you. As the sea brings up its waves, they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers and I will scrape her soil from her and make her a bare rock. So again, this port city, this city of the sea, is going to be overtaken like the waves crashing down upon it. Ezekiel goes on to say, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots and with horsemen and a host of many soldiers." So once again, in a passage like this, we learn how the Lord of hosts, he brings these earthly armies as an instrument of destruction, as a hammer to come out and bring down the wrath of God. And so Tyre is exalted, but God will bring them low with earthly means of the king of Babylon. Later on in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 28, he speaks out this word against Sidon. And he says this, "The word of Yahweh came to me, son of man, set your face toward Sidon and prophesy against her and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will manifest my glory in your midst. And they shall know that I am Yahweh when I execute judgments in her and manifest my holiness in her. For I will send pestilence into her and blood into her streets, and the slain shall fall in her midst by the sword that is against her on every side. Then they will know that I am Yahweh." And so again, you have this instrumental means here, that a pestilence will come, that blood will be shed by a sword. And of course, the Lord uses the kingdoms of the earth, these earthly kingdoms, as his ministers, the one who has the sword and has that sword so it can be used to punish wickedness and lawlessness. So here in Ezekiel, just like in Isaiah, these are words of condemnation that are coming down hard on the cities of Tyre and Sidon, who are exalting themselves, trying to prevent God's city from coming. So now when we hear of the cities of Tyre and Sidon, we think of those who are in animosity with God, those who refuse to hear God's word, those who are captive in darkness by the devil and are constantly battling and warring, and that God is giving his word of destruction because they will be leveled. So that's what we have in mind from the Old Testament when we hear Tyre and Sidon. Now let's turn to the New Testament and to the words of Jesus. Now in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." Now this is Matthew chapter 11, verses 21 through 24. Now in this passage, you have these cities that are being called out by Jesus. Chorazin, Capernaum, Bethsaida, these are cities where the presence of God is made known in the incarnation, that God comes in the flesh to his own people. The word of God comes to speak life into their ears, but yet they reject him. They will not receive him. Even his own do not know him. so that Jesus compares them to the cities of Tyre and Sidon, or even Sodom. In fact, he contrasts them and says that it's going to be even more tolerable for those cities that refused to hear the word of God. For you have the word of God, the people of God should know. They should walk in the light because they have the light, but yet they refuse and would rather walk in the darkness. Now, if you continue on in Matthew chapter 15, again, when we have this foundational understanding, this background of Tyre and Sidon, and even Sodom, of course, we all know of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the outcry of the wickedness there and God's judgment upon them. But as Jesus comes to the cities of the promised land, one by one these cities reject him. Ultimately, as he heads and sets his face towards Jerusalem, it's the earthly Jerusalem that tries to put to death the King of Glory. Now, of course, on Matthew 15, Jesus continues to speak and he continues to teach about this city of God that he comes to bring. And now take note in particular what's taking place here. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And so we have something going on here that's uniquely, unbelievably interesting, that Jesus retreats from the promised land, the land that has the promise of the Messiah, and he goes out into the Gentile land, the land of Tyre and the land of Sidon that does not have the promise, so that the great light is brought into this darkness. And you see the contrast that when Jesus is with his own people, they do not receive him. But yet here's a Canaanite woman, a Gentile from that region, who comes to Jesus and cries out for mercy, recognizing that he is the Son of David. And she looks to him as the only one who can release her daughter from captivity by a demon. And so you have in this passage something that's extremely unique. Here we see the conversion of a Gentile being brought out of darkness into light and looking to Jesus as the one who can help her in her time of need. And so now you see this contrast and you see this comparison between the cities of the people of God in Israel and the cities of the Gentiles. Now in the Gospel according to St. Luke in chapter 6, we have the same kind of a thing taking place here, that when Jesus is preaching on the plain and he is choosing the 12, Luke writes, "And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God.'" So here we have in Luke chapter 6, Jesus preaching about the kingdom, that is, the city of God, the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And take note that those who are coming to hear, that remnant, that small group from Jerusalem and Judea, also includes the Gentiles from the cities of Tyre and Sidon. So now when we look at Isaiah chapter 23, we want to understand that judgment will come upon Tyre and Sidon, just like judgment will come upon Jerusalem. But yet, just like a remnant will be from Jerusalem who will hear and take part in the new Jerusalem, so too, there will be the conversion of the Gentiles, and those from Tyre and Sidon will also be part. For this gospel will go out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. The disciples will be made of all nations. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 23. Now picking up at verse 7, we begin with a question. Is this your exultant city, whose origin is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? Who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? It is Yahweh of hosts who has purposed it, to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. And so you have these rhetorical questions, these questions that are brought forth, because Tyre and Sidon, they exalt themselves up high, but they will be brought down low. And so when they are crushed and destroyed, is this an exultant city? Is this what is prideful and arrogant and pompous? Because it looks like nothing in comparison to God, who alone has all glory. So when we look at this arrogance and pride of this exultant city, we know that throughout the scriptures that it is God who brings down the exalted and he humbles them, and then God exalts the humbled. For instance, like in Proverbs chapter 3, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. Now, of course, this is what we know as the scripture reveals this reality to us. But when you have a prideful, pompous, arrogant city like Tyre, they're not going to believe that these things would happen to them, for they are lifted up. But yet faith believes what seems to be impossible, such as the destruction of an exultant city, being brought down low, even though no one else seemed to be able to do that in the past. Now, this idea, again, of this exultant city is where earthly Jerusalem found themselves back in chapter 22. Remember the oracle concerning the valley of vision and those questions. What do you mean that you have gone up, all of you, to the housetops, you who are full of shoutings, tumultuous city, exultant town? Your slain are not slain with the sword or dead in battle. For it is Yahweh who will come and destroy. It is Yahweh who brings down low that which exalts itself. And so you have this contrast between these earthly cities that exalt themselves and the heavenly city of God that God himself exalts. And so, like in, for instance, Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. For where the Most High is, that city is high and lifted up. Or in Psalm 87, glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. So that the humble city of heavenly Jerusalem is lifted up by God, and glorious things are spoken of that city by God. It's not a self-assumed glory, but it is a glory that is bestowed from God, who alone has the glory. So that Isaiah says that they will be defiled, this pompous pride of all glory, that it'll be dishonored, all this honor of the earth. And so that pride is what God alone has. In other places, this Hebrew word, gaon, is translated as majesty. So this pride is this majesty that they are taking upon themselves. They are exalting themselves. They are magnifying themselves. But this majesty is only rightly due to God, who himself is exalted. And so, like Isaiah will use this same word back in chapter 2, when he says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of Yahweh and from the splendor of his majesty. This is the same word. Again in chapter 2, and people shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of Yahweh and from the splendor of his majesty, when he rises to terrify the earth. So again, it's the majesty that belongs to the Lord. Later in Isaiah chapter 24, you're told that the people of God will lift up their voices. They will sing for joy over the majesty of Yahweh. They will shout from the west. And so again, this majesty is what is rightfully God. And so when this same Hebrew word is used for Tyre, this exalted city, this self-exalted city, it is pride because it does not belong to them. In fact, Isaiah will use this same Hebrew word in chapter 13. But there we translate it as pomp because it's this pompous pride of Babylon. And so Yahweh says, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will put an end to the pomp of the arrogant and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. And so once again, you have that the majesty belongs to God. But when people steal this majesty and try to give it to themselves, attribute it to themselves, it is this pride. It is pomp. It is not rightfully belonging to them. In verse 19 of chapter 13, Isaiah uses it again and saying, Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the splendor and the pomp of the Chaldeans, will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them. And so again, Sodom and Gomorrah are cities that were in rebellion against God in God's city, the city of the living God. And we know what happened to those cities. They came to an end. It's that pomp. It's that self-applied pride, majesty that belongs to God alone. So that later on in Isaiah 14, Isaiah will use the same Hebrew word again, saying that your pomp is brought down to Sheol. The sound of your harps and maggots are laid as its bed beneath you, and worms are your covers. And so this self-attributed pride or majesty, his pomp, is being taken away. They exalt themselves in the city, and this city will be brought low, because it is God alone who rightfully, in truth, has this majesty. But as God dwells in his city, the city of the living God, this majesty is gifted to the people of God. So Isaiah will use this word later on in chapter 60. In this chapter, he is bringing comfort to the afflicted, those who are humble, those who have been devastated by the earthly cities. He says, whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. So that glorious things are spoken of the city of God. The city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, does not exalt in itself. It exalts in God. It is humble. And then God gifts it with his majesty. But it's the cities of the earth who are self-exaltant, who take this pride in themselves and who they are and what they do, that will be brought low and will come to an end. Returning to Isaiah 23 and picking up at verse 10. So Isaiah continues speaking this word against this exultant city, saying, cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. For he has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. Yahweh has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. For Yahweh has done this, and there will be no preventing it. And so Isaiah goes on in verse 12. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise and cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will find no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people that was not. Assyria destined it for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. And so these are all these words of condemnation, these words of destruction and devastation, that Yahweh will do this, and there will be none who can prevent it. this city will fall, and the city of the living God will remain eternal. Now, here's where we shift some gears here. Now, remember as we were talking, Jesus going out to these areas, to the regions of Tyre and Sidon, that you have individuals coming that are Gentiles to hear Jesus, that they're coming out of the darkness into his light. Now, this is where we shift these gears and we see the conversion of the Gentiles. So at verse 14, we pick up, "Well, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is laid waste. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of the 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute." Now, the number 70 should ring a bell inside of our head, and we should understand that Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, that is, went into exile in Babylon, and as Jeremiah told him, it would be for 70 years, the length of a man's life, a whole generation, like the reigning of one king. Now, in Psalm 90, we read that the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Or, of course, that passage in Jeremiah 29, "Thus says Yahweh, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Now, take note that after the 70 years, the earthly Jerusalem will be visited by God. This Hebrew word is pakad, and remember this because we'll come right back to it. But after 70 years, he will visit earthly Jerusalem and restore them with the promise so that they become heavenly Jerusalem. That is, the remnant, the believers who trust in the promise of Emmanuel. And so Isaiah goes on in chapter 23, verse 16, speaking about this 70 years and what will happen to Tyre. And so he says at verse 16, "Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered." And then in verse 17, "At the end of 70 years, Yahweh will visit Tyre." And so it's the same word in Hebrew, pakad, that just like Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, is leveled and devastated and forsaken and forgotten, yet there's this promise that after 70 years, Yahweh will visit and remember. And so here in Tyre, we see the conversion of the Gentiles. For verse 17 goes on to say this, that at the end of 70 years, Yahweh will visit Tyre, and she will turn in regards to her wages and prostituting herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. So when we look at this passage, we want to see the conversion of the Gentiles. She is not returning to her unholy ways, but instead she is made holy. Verse 18 goes on to clarify this. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to Yahweh. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before Yahweh. So these are sanctified. These are those who dwell in the presence of God before his face. And those who are before the face of the holy God are made holy. So they are bringing holy gifts, sacrifices of praise to God. They too have been justified through faith alone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.